Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. For the past few weeks, we've been studying the relationship between desire and destiny from Luke chapter 22 and verses 1 to 23. We began our study by looking at the desire of the religious leaders. Their desire, their goal, was to find a way to get rid of Jesus. They were looking for a way to kill him. And then we looked at the desire of Judas. He was covetous, and he loved money. That desire led him to betray Jesus and sealed his eternal destiny. In today's study, we will look at the desire of Jesus. So I hope you can stay with me. I'll begin by reading the text, Luke chapter 22 and verses 1 to 23. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew near, which is called Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then Satan entered Judas, surnamed Iscariot, who was numbered among the 12. So he went his way and conferred with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him to them. And they were glad and agreed to give him money. So he promised and sought opportunity to betray him to them in the absence of the multitude. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat." So they said to him, "Where do you want us to prepare?" And he said to them, "Behold, when you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house which he enters. Then you shall say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large, furnished upper room. There, make ready." So they went and found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, "With fervent desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table. And truly, the Son of Man goes as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." Then they began to question among themselves which of them it was who would do this thing. The final illustration of desire and destiny is the desire of Jesus. The strongest expression of Jesus' desire is found in verse 15 of our text, eating this final Passover meal with the 12. So Jesus sent his two most trusted disciples, Peter and John, to prepare the place for the Passover meal. So now the hour has arrived, and Jesus and the 12 are reclining around the table to share the final Passover meal together. In his opening words to the 12, Jesus makes clear the significance of this event. His desire is expressed differently in different translations of the scripture. The King James Version repeats the word like this: "With desire I have desired." Other translations use the adjectives like earnestly, fervently, or eagerly desired. All of these words express the deep feelings of our Lord as he approaches this final meal, just prior to his suffering and death. Jesus informs those gathered with him that the reason for his earnest desire to share this last Passover with them is twofold. First, he is about to go through suffering and death. And though he has a sense of dread over the horror that awaits him, he also has a sense of longing to fulfill the Father's plan. Second, Jesus informs them he will assuredly not, and he uses a double negative, he will assuredly not eat this meal with them again or drink wine until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. So this final Passover meal is looking forward. It's looking forward to the culmination of God's divine plan of redemption. After Christ's sacrifice, there is no longer a need for the Passover. All of its types and shadows are fulfilled in him. So eating together in the kingdom that Jesus talked about must refer to its future consummation. I believe Jesus began the Passover meal just as the 12 were accustomed to doing it. Verse 19 shows us Jesus attaching a new covenantal meaning to the Passover observance. Bread was a staple of life in the ancient world, and the bread of the original Passover was unleavened because the people of Israel left Egypt so quickly they didn't have time to let the bread rise in the normal way. And also, leaven represents the presence of sin, so Jewish homes were to be cleansed of leaven before the Passover. You can read about that in Exodus chapter 12. So now Jesus takes the bread, gives thanks, breaks it, and distributes it to the 12. In doing this, he states, "This is my body, which is being given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Just like natural bread is understood as the sustenance of physical life, so the body of Christ is the sustenance of spiritual life. As the physical bread is eaten, it enters the digestive tract, and it begins to break down by the action of gastric juices in our stomach. The process of digestion enables the nutrients in the bread to be assimilated by the body, and that gives us strength and sustains life. And so too, those who appropriate Christ, the living bread, who ingest and assimilate his word, find themselves spiritually alive and nourished. In verse 20, after the meal, Jesus takes the cup. Some scholars think this was the third cup of the Passover, and it was referred to as the cup of redemption. Jesus gave that new meaning too. The blood of Christ, the spotless Passover lamb, represented by this cup, would forever end the era of the old covenant and usher in the new. No amount of animal sacrifices could ever cleanse the worshiper from sin. Only the precious blood of Jesus could do that. And Jesus, with the sharing of this cup, was anticipating our full redemption. He said to them, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which is being shed for you." Praise God! Now what a contrast between the desires of Jesus and the desires of Judas and the religious leaders. They were trying to save their lives and their position at any cost. Ultimately, they lost them. Their desires and the actions they took to fulfill those desires had a predetermined destiny. Judas' money perished with him, and the religious leaders eventually lost all they had hoped to retain when Jerusalem was completely destroyed in 70 AD. Contrast those with the completely selfless desires of Jesus in this text. He was intent on losing his life, voluntarily laying it down, so he could accomplish our salvation. And not only that, he was giving us a lasting memorial in observing the Lord's table. Jesus knew our human frailty and how easily we forget the price of our redemption. In the final verses of our text, Jesus gives a solemn warning. He announced to the 12 reclining around the table, "The hand of him who will betray me is with me on this table." How audacious this betrayer was. He had the nerve to eat with the betrayed. What a violation of culture and custom. Jesus knew Judas' heart, and he knew the agreement Judas had made with the religious leaders. And yet, this seems to me like one final appeal to Judas to reconsider his choices, his desires. Yes, it's true, Jesus would die. That had already been determined and decreed in the eternal counsels of God, even before the creation of the world. It couldn't be altered. Divine sovereignty and human responsibility meet in this event. But Jesus pronounces a woe on the man, Judas, who is going to betray him. Woe is a word of calamity, a word of doom, a word of judgment, and it was graphically fulfilled in the horrible end of Judas. He, the worst of men, would betray Jesus, the best of men. Jesus calls all that would follow him to eat this bread and drink this cup of the new covenant. He calls us to lay down our physical lives in order to take up his cross and follow him. That requires us to subordinate all our desires to his desires for us. His will becomes our will. His wish becomes our command. When we do that, we can fully expect to receive what he has promised. We will recline with him at the table at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We are heirs and joint heirs with him in all the riches of God's kingdom. Now, friend, you and I are faced with a choice. Whose desires are we going to fulfill? Will we pursue our own earthly desires and try to preserve our little earthly accumulation of possessions or our little earthly kingdom? If we make that choice, our destiny is already prescribed, and we will have a miserable end like Judas. Or we can yield to Jesus, allowing him by the Spirit and the Word to crucify our flesh with its affections and desires. Will we allow him to empty our hands in order that he might fill them with his true riches and power? Making that choice will assure us of a glorious, eternal reward. And so I ask you, my friend, what is the destiny of your desires? My friend, were you blessed by this study from Luke's Gospel? If so, you can have an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching. Just write and request it by its title, Desire and Destiny. Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, Desire and Destiny. Once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study in Luke's Gospel. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.